check, check. I'm back for Drapetomania Revealed. Right here. Vulcanite Radio. And we're doing Amigos this time. Gonna break down the track. The Amigos. And what I decided to do is not play the track with the drums this time. And we're just gonna talk a lot about the sample. Because the sample is the most important part of this track. Wow, that was a big old smack. I don't even know if I'm even focused enough to do this podcast. I've been working on some other stuff related to a couple shows the Green Seed has coming up. And I'm just doing it just because I need to get my mind off of some of the stuff I've been working on. I got to get my mind off of that. And I got to move on. And so I'm using this podcast, Drapetomania Reveals, to get over it. So if there's a couple times where I sound like I'm struggling to find the words or, you know, whatever, just forgive me this time because I am checked totally out. And I'm just going to tell you what it is. I've been working on some stuff for the show, some live drum stuff for the show and some of the shows we got coming up. And, man, my snare drum's been acting up. It just hasn't been giving me the response I've been looking for, so I bought a bunch of stuff, changed some snare wires, changed some heads, testing some heads. You know, just trying a bunch of stuff just so I can try. I'm just looking for a unique snare sound. I want one that doesn't, that almost sounds like, well, what the bleep is he doing playing the snare drum with that tone, tonality? Because I'm searching for my own distinct snare sound. And I've got the answer on the kick drum and some of the stuff I want to do, but I haven't figured it out for the snare yet. But anyway, I just don't want it to sound like a typical drum. The snare, especially. The snare more than anything. I just wanted, you can tailor make it to make it sound unique. But anyway, none of that has anything to do with Amigos from Drapetomania. We're almost done with this entire series. I mean, we're halfway through it, really. And I think what I've found as I continue to go through these and as I get prepared for them, I've recognized that, you know, we've got a lot of songs on this record, a little more than I thought, that have a concise and a focused idea surrounding the song. You know, not just the general, like, we're the rapper and we're rhyming, you know, and we're showing you that we are the best rhymers that have ever lived, you know. I think we've always stepped out there to try to put subject matter together, whether it's on our first group project with Homeland Security Blanket or the second group project, and this is before Drapetomania, this is all self-release stuff, Mud Pies, you know. On those albums, I generally think, and I'll have to go back and even look at some of those tracks on those records, but I generally think that we always were trying to focus on a subject and talking about something, just like how Jude Law's about somebody mistaking us for somebody else, and Up at Steps is about stepping your game up, whatever that game is, and Chance to Say is about relationships that you didn't get to say what you needed to say, and Make Room is about make room for us and show us, you know, all the same is about maybe we're all, we always had a central theme, and I think we generally have a central theme. It's not just, I'm the rapper's rapper, I'm the rapper's kid, I'm the rapper's killer, you know, just, you know. And I've had some after the All the Same, and I have to say this, after the All the Same podcast, I've had a few conversations with people that maybe not quite agreed with me about the, you know, the place of the MC or the rapper, where the rapper fits, and that there's a distinction between the rapper and the MC, and, you know, and that's all that sort of thing. I get it. I get that, you know, a regular carpenter versus master carpenter, you know, I mean, there's a distinction there, you know. But in music, I just don't think that that's there. And if you have to, it's kind of like when you have to explain the punchline of a joke to somebody, then that just means the joke wasn't effective. If after you tell the joke, you have to explain it, then it's not effective. So it's the same thing with rapper versus MC thing. You know, it's like, okay, the public at large recognizes us as rappers. And the other part of the world, some of the part of the world might think you're an MC, but then MC is such a, it's a debatable subject about who's an MC and who's not an MC. So it's just like, I don't know that I'd want to be categorized as something that has to be debated, you know, much, you know, rapper, you know, you're a rapper. I mean, if, all you got to do is rap and you're a rapper. But for the distinction of MC, there's going to be a group of people who are going to think you're an MC. There's going to be another group of people who don't think you're an MC. So I've had that discussion with some people just because, you know, it's easy for me to espouse on this podcast and talk about things that, you know, that about where I fit into the hip hop community. I mean, because the funny thing about where I fit in the hip hop community is it's really kind of a joke. Like, if you really got down to it, if I ever became uber successful, it really would be a bit of a punchline to the hip-hop community at large that a skateboarding country kid, because where I live is the country, where I grew up was the country, a skateboarding country kid that plays tennis, teaches tennis, is low handicap golfer, you know, I mean, it would be a joke. Like, it would just be hilarious. It's like, where did this guy come from? You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't fit any of the typical stereotypes for rapper, producer, you know, whatever, for hip hop. Cause, you know, didn't grow up poor, had her mom and dad at home. I mean, it really would. It would be a bit of a joke, and it would be a bit of a punchline, you know, as who I am, you know, became more prevalent, you know, especially to the, you know, the black part of the hip-hop world, where that fits into. It would be a bit of a joke, so it's really kind of funny for me to espouse about my experience in hip hop, but yo, that's what podcasting and that's what stories are about, is about how one thing was this way and then somebody was affected by it and could potentially change things or keep things the same or whatever. And that's the point I'm making about this rapper MC conversation that I've had. It's just like, hey man, I think we just fall victim to all these, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? We just fall victim for all these labels, you know, and group of people want to be labeled this and want to be labeled this. And it's just like, yo, man, like, you're a rapper, dog. And if somebody wants to call you something more than rapper, then they'll have to call you that. But I don't think you can call yourself an MC. In order for you to be a master carpenter, you have to actually pass the class. And so there needs to be some sort of training ground, or, you know, a committee put together, a committee of people to decide, and there's gonna always be somebody that's not gonna agree with that. So anyway, You know, and if you want to find out what I'm kind of talking about, just go back and listen to the All the Same. I just make a I make a comparison about rappers, where rappers fit into the musical side of things, and you know, it's entry level thing, and you know, some people haven't agreed with me, which is cool. I think that's great, but you know, I just think it's a you know they say DJ, DJ is short for disc jockey, and so. When you're a DJ, you're a DJ. Now, if somebody wants to give you a higher level than DJ, than the term DJ, then they'll have to come up with something. But there's no disc jockey DJ and then mastery jockey 101, or, you know, it's just, I mean, there's levels of skill levels, but you're still a rapper. There, you might be a higher level rapper, just to like the point I was making before. You might be a higher level rapper, but you're still a rapper. You're still a fry cook. You're still entry level. You could be the highest level, but you're still in highest level of entry level. So that's the only point I was making. So let's talk about Amigos, because Amigos is just it's. Now, of course, this track was in 2014. There was Migos from Atlanta. This makes no reference to Migos. This is not who we're talking about. I didn't even know Migos in 2014. So I know a lot of people did. I didn't. So this is just us saying, I always try to name these tracks funny, like weird. Just like Up It Steps. I named it Up It Steps, but you really could call it Step It Up. But I just wanted to, I always just wanted to like throw a little weird way to, you know, to talk about the track sometimes. And so this is one of them, Amigos. I went with the Spanish word for friends. One of my favorite tracks to produce, because I didn't know this was going to be a song about friends until I was digging through this, and of course, this is Ambrosia is the band. This was sampled from them. This track is called "Dancing by Myself," and just going through the record, like I said before, I always sample from vinyl, so you know, I'm just dropping the needle all over the record, just looking for stuff, and you know, just looking for that random sound that could be, you know, pushed, and you know, you just. The first thing, and before I get to the dancing by myself part, because it intros the song, but it's technically not the beginning of the song. The beginning of the song is this break, and this break is what started this entire thing. I'm always looking for breaks. I'm always looking for snares that I can chop up and store away and put onto, and I keep bumping into this tambourine in here. So if you keep hearing a tambourine sound, it's because I keep bumping into it in here in my studio. But this break. When I was just break hunting, sample hunting, break hunting, and then I found this break. Now, what is interesting about this break is that if you listen closely, you can hear this little. I don't know where that came from. Maybe that's somewhere on the recording. I'd have to actually go back and listen to it, but let's listen to it again. It's almost like you can hear like some maybe somebody was in the control room, or maybe something sound was bleeding over from a microphone or whatever. But I it was a really unique, fun sound, and it's almost like you can just let's listen to it one more time. Hear somebody going, and it might have been the drummer. He might have just been playing, you know, and he's kind of playing that John Bonham kind of, you know, triplet thing a little bit, you know, kind of like this a little shuffle or whatever. And then this second part is, and then a little break there. So you know, I mean, it's nothing too new, too complex, but it was very interesting when you just find this on the front end of a track. And so I'm sitting here now, and I've got that. This is one pad. And I know I kept messing with it, and I was like, as I'm pressing, and you could just keep going with this and just turn it into something that, you know, you don't wouldn't normally have even been working with, you know, like making. Oh, wait a minute, making in your face and fucking see what was thinking. You know? Like, if I was taking it right now, that's what I would do with it. Because you could just get something that feels good until, you know, and build around it. So I'm totally into that. See, now it's almost got me wanting to reuse it. You know? Just reuse it and maybe build something else around it and have a whole nother track, you know? But it I mean, just very interesting. And so I started with that. And I looped it from that position. So those are on two pads. That's one. This is the same pad. Loop, two, three, four. Loop, two, three, four. Loop, two, three, four. Then the second loop, two, three, four. Loop, two, three, one pad. Huh. Loop, two, same pad. Loop, two, three, yeah. Then second to the second pad with the feel. So, man, when I started getting that, it just felt really, really good. And so now I know I'm going to keep that. Now, normally, if I'm going to try to keep that loop, that drum loop, and I'm not going to chop it, which I did. I still chopped it and put it over pads, because sometimes I like to layer, detune, and, you know, just do some other interesting stuff with the same drum. But then I just kept dropping that needle on that track, and then I came and found this. And it's got that little snare buzz, little buzz roll up under it. You know, and so now I know I'm going to jack everything from this track. The loop and this. You know, now I know I'm going to get stuff from it. So then I go through. So you technically, you've got this pad. So that's three. So that's three pads. Here's one pad. Then. Now, and I cut that one off, but that's one pad. And then. And so then I just started playing with that, with the, you know, with the loop going. You know, you can be like, you left me. And so I started taking all these sounds. And so let's talk about where they all are on the pad. So here's one. I've already said that one. Use that one. Didn't really let that get to the snare part of that. And then you left me. That one could have been not used, but I liked it. I just liked it. I liked it by itself, because you could layer it under stuff if you wanted to. I think I left it open. Yeah. I only used that one for under things. So where this one, me. So I didn't let that get to the snare and that feel either. Left me. But I used that one, and you left me, and left me. And I would put the left me ones up under where the verses are. And you can listen to it, like I said, just stream it on Spotify, go buy it, whatever, you know, come by Convest, pick it up during our sales that, you know, we're going to potentially have some more really awesome sales. So, you know, just pick it up, stream it, do whatever you got to do to hear it. Because when I'm explaining it like this, I'm not going to play it the way that it, you know, that it ended up being. So, now the intro of the track, I ended up chopping up some other sounds that ended up going on the front. So where these samples that I'm about to hit on these pads, it's at the beginning of the song. In the Ambrosia song, it was more toward the middle or front, you know, the front half of the song. All right, so here we go. Dancing. So I chop that one up. Dancing. And then this one. By myself. And that's another pad. Dancing. And so that was it. So I hand played that on the front end. I didn't sequence it. And I think I didn't sequence it because it really would not sequence. This track's 94.5. It would not sync up. And so sometimes when you want to have these little intros or you want to have these little bridges or you want to have this stuff, you really do need to just hand play it with no clock in mind. And, you know, I've been accused of DJ FX on the Birmingham Rocks podcast. Be sure to check them out. We have a long interview on there. DJ FX talks about me not sharing my process. Well, he clearly hasn't listened to this podcast. So I'm sharing a little bit, and mainly just because, like I said on the front end of this, is that nobody ever asked me about it, never really got to talk about it in depth, and so this was my opportunity to just really go in depth. But let me get off of that. I've already explained all that already, so go back to some of the earlier episodes. So I hand played this because it would not sync at 94.5, and I don't know why I picked 0.5, because it probably would be just fine at 94, and it'd probably be just fine at 95, but for some reason, I chose 94.5, and it's probably why this damn part right here would not sync. So, so here we go, we got, so I'm hitting that, let me stop this. When they're all cross four pads, it's basically like having four keys. Let's say you got C, D, E, and F. Okay, so but they're not on a keyboard. I don't use keyboard to sample. You know, to trigger my samples, I use the MPC pads to do that. So it would be the equivalent of C having a sample on it, the key C, the white key C, the white key D, or even the C sharp. You know, just four keys would have four samples on it. And so if you clapped it out, there would be one on every beat. So it'd be dancing, two, one, dancing, two, dancing by myself. Alright, that's totally wrong, Randall. Get it right. Here we go. Dancing by myself. And so now I just realized something as I was hand playing that. I really just realized it's, I think it is more in the triplet. So it's really not a 1, 2, 3, 4. It's more like a 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. And then maybe the first two are in triplet, but then the last half are in fours. Let's see if that's right. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. Yeah, it is. So it goes from 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, I'd have to spend a second with that. Maybe somebody that, you know, that knows timing a little better than me could tell me what that is. But it's definitely triplet feel, and I hand played it, but then the track is in 4/4. So it definitely does give it a rushed kind of on the front half. Dancing by myself. So then you left me, boom, and that coming in now is 4/4. This is a hidden gem track that some people like. Some people have asked me before, hey, man, why didn't you do Amigos, man? Why didn't you do Amigos? Or, why didn't you do Amigos? I mean, you know. It happens from time to time, and you normally just smile and say, I'm sorry, we'll do it next time, and you're never going to do it next time. I mean, maybe next time. Maybe the next show on July 10th at the Nick, maybe we'll do Amigos. Maybe. But It's still, it's just one of those tracks that some people have a close affinity to, other people don't. It's not universal, and it might be universal by, I mean, it might be our own fault why it's not universal. So, but yeah, that Ambrosia sample has always been, since I produced this track, it has always been one that I have always wanted to just talk about how it got to the point that it was, you know, that it was in. The kicks and snares, like I said before on some of the earlier podcasts, they're all the same kicks and snares. I use the same kick and snare basically throughout this whole record. Trepetomania was the basic, you know, and I might detune it down sometimes. Maybe it would be EQ'd differently from track to track, but, you know, or a different effect or something was put on it. But I use the same too. And I, like I said before, I did that out of necessity of wanting to make sure that every, you know, if we were really rushed for time in the studio, because I was trying to be efficient. I was trying to be efficient as possible. If we'd gotten in there, I at least wanted the engineer to be able to recognize, like, oh, all these are the same. I'll just EQ them all the same, you know. Or, you know, if he wanted to go to any real deep detail, which was Kyle Ginther, big up Kyle. If he wanted to go into any real detail, he could. But if he didn't, all those kicks and snares were the same, and he could have just done the same thing on all of them, and, you know, it would have worked that way. But yeah, focused concept, talking about amigo, talking about friends and where friends, you know, I have a very unique perspective on friends just in general, and most of people that would call themselves my friend, or I would say that we are or were friends, they would probably tell you, yeah, he's not the typical friend per se. And I don't guess that means that I'm a bad friend. Maybe I'm just not the best friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. And that's just from my life experience. So if you know, if you want to know what kind of friend I am, or, you know, let's just meet for a drink and talk about what I feel about friends. I don't want to go into, you know, that here on this podcast, because that's not what it's about. But just in general, the song is meant to champion friends, but it's also meant to give a unique perspective on friends if you want to dig that far. If you want to stay in the chorus, if you want to go with the, you know, I got friends, you know, I got friends that face their many pressures, you know. I mean, if you want to stay on the surface, you can stay there. We want to go a little in depth. We're going to quickly go in depth because this is a verse that I felt like needed some in-depth discussion, just because when I wrote it, I was trying to have a balanced view of my idea of friends and people that I call friends or have called friends or people that call me friends. Because sometimes you can call somebody your friend and they don't think that you're friends. And sometimes you can think that you're friends with somebody and they don't think you're friends. I guess I just said the same thing the same way twice, but you get what I'm saying. I hope you get what I'm saying. So anyway, instead of wrapping this one, we're just going to kind of just quickly go through it. But I got a lot of friends that like to lose control. At the time I wrote this, I definitely had some friends that liked to lose control, like partying or getting angry or, you know, whatever. Got a lot of friends that like to lose control of their faculties to you expose and soothe the soul. Soothing the soul was a key word. You know, some even though some of your friends lose control, they can also soothe the soul. You know, they can do both. They can lose control and they can soothe the soul. There's another line. I guess I'm not gonna just wrap it out. I'm just gonna go to the key points that I was thinking about. Cry in distress when time isn't left. That's one that I really like to focus on too, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had any friends that when the time for the party to be over or time for the fun to end, they will cry in distress when time isn't left. Like, oh no, I don't want the time. I don't want this to end. No, I want this to go. But it's like, Man, sometimes you gotta end on a high note, you know. There's no point in pushing things way past the threshold. So, crying distress when time isn't left. Fun you and I will possess. So try and confess deficiencies. That's one where I'm speaking to myself and, you know, anybody that wants to listen. Try and confess your deficiencies to your friends, you know. Like, don't get in this thing, this self-righteous thing where you're always just pointing and looking at other folks all the time. How about looking your friend in the face and saying, yeah, you know what, I got some deficiencies and here they are. I mean, you know, like, it's so easy to just get on this thing where you're pounding everybody else about something they're not doing when you don't spend any time in the mirror. Well, and here's the thing, you might spend time in the mirror judging yourself, but sometimes you need to let people know that you've spent that time in the mirror judging yourself so that they know that when you're judging somebody or you've got something to say critical of somebody, that they at least know that you're critical of yourself also. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a life lesson there. But not for me. I mean, that's just in general, you know. I mean, anybody would tell you, any person of good mind and good faith would say to try and confess your deficiencies. And oh yes, they listen to a melody, but when we speak is when they fell asleep, met with reckoning. I like that line also. People love listening to melodies. They love hearing, you know, little sing-songy singing stuff. But man, when you speak is when they fell asleep. they will fall asleep. So, it, you know, another moment just to say, keep them engaged. Keep your friends engaged with the melodies, the sweet things, because when you speak truth and you start really speaking, that's when they're going to fall asleep. And they'll get met with reckoning because they're asleep and they're not listening when you're actually dropping some truth gems on your friends. The bright lights and the laughter is what they're after. That's self-explanatory, you know. People are just looking for fun, man. Like, if you're not trying to have fun, if you all so serious, and I've had people tell me, oh, God, you're so serious, or other people tell other people, oh, God, this dude, what's going on with this guy? He's super serious. I wish he'd chill out. And then some people say that I'm not serious, you know. So I guess it's all a point of reference about where people, maybe where they witness me or not witness, and that's not the right, a good term, but just where they observe me. You know, some people may only observe me in fun time, and some people may only observe me when I'm hyper balanced and hyper focused. But bright lights and laughter is what everybody's after. The rest of the way, I mean, it's really just a moment. That whole first 8 bars is where I'm trying to, like, drop the truth gems. And then after that, I'm trying to go with style. I can say this about my own personal writing style, is that I'm always trying to be balanced. Who knows whether I succeed or not. But I'm always trying to be as balanced as possible. So I want to be able to deliver some things, that nuggets, that if you didn't pick it up the first time or the first 10 times, maybe you'll pick it up at listen 10 or 12. Because it's easy to just go with the thing that people are going to pick up the first time, and they'll absorb it and they'll know exactly what you're saying, and then they'll move on. But for me, I've always loved hip hop music that, for instance, somebody like Pep Love. Pep Love's album Ascension is one of those records where I remember, you know, every time you listened, you pulled another way he was rhyming words or putting a phrase together or whatever. And I mean, you know, that has more re-listen. That has more multiple listening power. It's something that actually has something that you kind of have to dig for. And so the whole first half is like, you know, just like some connectivity stuff. And then after that, I'm just going for style. You know, it's like level-headed, pressure, you know, serve the flock, Kirk and Spock, Work the Clock, Purpose Stop. I mean, you know, I'm trying to build the attention and lyrical what's lyrical masterminds. You know, I'm just really at this point, I'm trying to just put all of the MC, I just made an argument against MC, but just the rapper's delight, the rapper's, you know, cadence, push, Purpose Stop, Work the Flock, Serve the Flock, Work the Clock, Kirk and Spock, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much sums this thing up, man. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory on the chorus, and you know, we talked about the sample and just kind of broke down the verse a little bit, just, you know, just into how I put some of that stuff together. And it's, you know, it's always interesting, it's always a blast, it's always fun every time you get to sit down and try to piece something together that, you know, that people can absorb. And man, I think that's it, man. I really do appreciate y'all continuing to listen. It's really been humbling, because we have gotten a lot of listeners. A lot of new subscribers to our podcast just based on the strength of this summer series podcasting, you know, breaking down tracks. And I mean, it has been humbling, because it's been almost to the point where I used to would just do a podcast here and there, just kind of do it when I felt like it. But this has opened my eyes about the idea of consistency, letting people wait a little while for stuff. Like, don't just bombard them with stuff all the time, but also having some level of consistency where maybe you give people time to absorb what you've already talked about, and then you come back later and you surprise them with a new episode. And you know, the response has been very unique, and I'm very pleased, I'm very happy. And I'm kind of upset, because I'm going to run out of stuff from Drapetomania Reveal. But what I'm probably going to end up doing, and I can admit to this, is that I'm probably going to end up breaking down a whole bunch of tracks, man. I mean, just breaking down old stuff from solo records. And I'm definitely going to continue to have people, that musicians that I know, break down their stuff. You know, because, I mean, it's so easy to get, this music can get so lost in the shuffle, because everybody can distribute their music nowadays, you know? So it's like you almost need to have an added place, an entry point for your audience. You know, more information and more good information, like, not information like, hey, look at me on Instagram, I'm shoving this camera up my nose. You know, I mean, just, you know, just some real behind the scenes access of indie musicians or indie whatever you call yourself, you know. I mean, I just think it's really cool that people have been listening. Not that I've gotten to do it, because I started this from a place of complete selfish desires, and it has turned into, you know, something that I actually look forward to doing, because the people have responded to it. So I really appreciate you guys. So hey man, that's it. We are out of this junk. I appreciate y'all for tuning in again. And we'll be back real soon. We're going to be doing Is Where the Heart Is next. Is Where the Heart is one of those tracks that get a lot of questions about. And we'll talk about it next time on Drapetomania Revealed, right here on Vulcanite Radio. Peace.